Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Labors for Christ Word Life Center, our spiritual growth and development. It's held every Wednesday at 7 a.m. And this year we've been focusing on chatting together about kingdom culture. Today's topic is going to be marijuana. Should the church endorse the use of cannabis? I believe that's how you pronounce it. And while we wait on the physical location to come on board, to remind everyone that this is coming up, Sunday is Fourth Sunday. Fourth Sunday, we worship at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock in the Sanctuary of Bethany Union Church, though there are meetings that are held before this at 2 o'clock, and if that pertains to you, we want to encourage you both for your preparation for worship and service. We are excited about the coming unit for CCTI. Those that have graduated from CCTI, those that are currently going to CCTI programs, and prospective students, we strongly encourage you to register for unit last unit hosted in the old facility. This will be a unit like no other. The team of Apostle Dr. Shauna A. Houghton and Ambassadorial Prophet Michael G. Henderson will be facilitating this revelatory, thought-provoking, and life-changing year of anointed, transformational teaching and training. Get ready for a revolutionary spiritual journey at Christian Counseling Training Institute. So, the first class will be held April 1st, and classes will go from April 1st to May 6th, 2019. The classes are held on Mondays only. Again, that's Monday only. There are three seminars that will be offered, and the first is the voice behind the prophetic. The voice behind the prophetic. And that will be facilitated by the ambassadorial prophet Henderson. The voice behind the prophet is a spiritual direction to understand the prophet's voice behind the Godhead. It will be hands-on and interactive class that will transform the way you listen, hear, respond, and obey the prophetic voice that's speaking to you. It's full of prophetic insight and revelation that will revolutionize the way you understand the voices of God. So we encourage you to sign up for this ministry opportunity at CCTI. The second seminar that will be offered on Monday, starting April 1st through May 6th, will be the construction of an apostolic leader, part 2. This is a revelational journey of what an apostolic leader must go and grow through. It is full of revelatory insight, structure, and changes that will cause you to govern what you have known and heard about the apostle. This class is designed for the surrendered leader that they may understand God spiritually and fully begin to operate under his mighty hand. We will look at the characteristics of an apostolic leader, how apostolic leaders are developed, differentiate between an apostolic leader and an apostle, helping apostolic leaders build the kingdom versus the church. And we will discuss building apostolic leaders for an apostolic kingdom and what that looks like and what we are responsibility for. So that's going to be taught by our own Apostle Dr. Seanette Hartman. And then the third seminar of the evening is going to be Access Granted. It is the study journey of the office, gift, anointing, and calling of the apostolic and prophetic administrative gift. The class will guide the believer into a deeper understanding of the function of the apostle and the prophet. The participants will have a biblical understanding and revelatory knowledge of these grace gifts within the church and the kingdom. Access Granted will also enlighten your heart to the biblical process and promise of the apostle and the prophet. It's going to be a life-changing course that will deepen our hearts and cause us to want to know more about the culture and the atmosphere of an apostolic prophetic voice. So we are currently waiting on the physical location to come online. We pray that you have your support and your resources to physically discuss the use of marijuana. And so now, if the physical location is ready, we will turn it over to
Tonight, we'll be turning it over into the hands of Apostle Katie Pierce.
Amen. Apostle Katie Pierce. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Worthy.
Amen.
Well, good evening, everybody, Blog Talk, and those who are on site. We do appreciate your joining in with us on today. And our subject matter on tonight is going to be about marijuana. Even for medicinal purposes, what's our stance on that particular subject matter? And so we're just going to open it up, of course, to those who are here on site and those of you who are on Blog Talk. If you have any comments, we just like for you to chime in. Let's dialogue about this because we do want to become more kingdom-minded and more Christ-like as we are looking into these different subject matters. So I hope that these subjects have been a blessing to you. If they have, just kind of let us know. Hit us up on Facebook or whatever you can to let us know that you are learning from these experiences and from these talks that we're having. So marijuana, even for medicinal purposes, what's your take? Okay, we got a no in the room.
Yes.
Hold on for me.
I don't know about all the medical benefits of it, but for me, it's still a drug. And so it would seem like you're still going to have some type of addiction to it. You know, they say it's good for glaucoma or for relieving pain or whatever. I haven't researched any of this. But for me, it's an illegal substance that you're trying to make legal or they have legal. And so I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about chemical compound, CBD.
Did you talk about?
Okay. CBD. CBD, which stands for cannabidiol, C-A-N-N-A-B-I-D-I-O-L, it's unlike THC. It increased anxiety, the THC increased anxiety by anticipating activating the neurotransmitter involving the fight or flight response. CBD actually automatically arousal a nervous system response associated with sudden increase in heart rate or respiration. CBD is ideal for people looking to help with chronic pain, relax, insomnia, unwind, not getting out of their mind, helping with epilepsy, also scriptures related to it. Let me finish with the CBD. It's extracted from non-GMO industrial hemp, H-E-M-P, grown in soil-free, any harmful chemical pesticide or heavy metal. CBD is a cannabinoid often derived from cannabis plant, less than 0.3% THC, has 15 milligrams of pure organic CBD to encourage various benefits, including, as I said, pain relief, anxiety, insomnia, sleep, relaxation, inflammation, but it really helps with pain. And I'm saying yes to CBD. I take CBD, and it works after being 5 or 6 years with chronic severe back pain, and the morphine and the opiate literally killed me almost. And this has helped me, in my opinion, with the pain. It don't take all the pain away, but it's much better than manageable pain. I have scriptures where it says proper for Christians to use for food and as for medicine. Genesis 1:12, Genesis 1:29-31, and then as a plant, Ezekiel 34:29, Revelation 22:1-2, and a plant, areno, which would heal, would be Isaiah 18:4-5. Exodus 30:22-29 and 30-23, and John 2:1-10, Proverbs 31:6-7, Acts 2:13, and Luke 7:34, as well as Ephesians 5:18. And that was just some information that I looked up in regard to CBD. It's a natural derived compound, unlike morphine and opiates that cause severe addictions as well as severe deaths. You know, so just wanted to, but no harmful side effects would be.
I think that, you know, did somebody have something to say on Blog Talk? I thought I heard.
Yes, somebody I would like to add on to her information that she gave on the cannabis plant.
That's your
problem. Now, this cannabis plant is also known to make cocaine, heroin, hash, and other medications. Marijuana is known for many other different things than the marijuana that we know it as a street drug. Marijuana has been used in the hospital for many of years.
Mm-hmm.
And as I don't know who was actually just explaining everything, this is Diane Rogers, but that was the information that I know when it comes to medical use of marijuana and any kind of drug that's used, and you're doing it for the right purpose. You're using it for the purpose that God made it for. Most of the time, it's man has contributed to his input and his added preservative when it's misused. But any plant, if it's used right, any herb, I believe in herb medication, and they are used for healing.
Okay.
If you can go with it, pros and cons on marijuana, and we could utilize the Bible in Genesis and many other places where God said everything he made was good. And when it comes to plant life, we know that there's life also in the plant. They breathe. So those functions would be to help our body as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that, and again, with the subject matter that we're speaking on, even with what Minister Pat brought up and what you're bringing up also, is the fact that, you know, some of this is extracted from a plant, and that's all good and well for healing purposes. But, you know, when people start of course, abusing anything, whether it's legal or illegal. You know, they're making it legal for the purposes of medical treatment, but there are always going to be those out there who are going to abuse it and take it for whatever reason that they need to. And I think that that's the fine line that we have right now, is for the people who are even abusing it, you know, and for their own particular purposes. When you talk about the opioids, when you talk about pain medications that people are taking and becoming addicted to it because of the fact that they abused it. So anything, it was medically given, but it was abused. So
right.
Even for those who is medically given, what about those who is medically given, but you're abusing it? And you are in the household of faith, and you're saying that you love God, but you're abusing something that was meant for medical purposes. Now, what do we do in those particular instances?
And I think anything is, if she was saying with plants or whatever, you have to first, and I believe, still with God as I ask him, Lord, what's your will? You know, I believe eventually I will be healed, completely healed and restored, you know.
Amen.
And, but I don't, use it other than medically to help. You know, with what I need for the pain, because I couldn't usually even get out of the bed. And I was so tired of just not living, you know, not being able to move, not being able to, you know.
Okay.
And, but a lot of people, as you said, do abuse it, or they take it and they use it for just a high purpose. This doesn't give you that high effect as marijuana would, you know, and fry your brain and do other things. But the CBD, I believe, helps with natural, as a natural plant that I created, you know. So I think in that purpose, it helps. And I didn't get it just on my own. My doctor, you know, prescribed it. But he also prescribed the marijuana and gave me the papers for it, which I never went and took them to the place to get them filled. Because I felt that wasn't something I wanted to take.
So I need to get educated on the subject matter. So what you're telling me is that there's something that he's giving you that's extracted from the marijuana plant that you take. But then he also gave you a prescription for marijuana.
Right.
And that you didn't take.
I didn't even take it to the facility
to get it.
And that's been over a year.
Yeah.
We're talking about CBC versus THC. And that's something totally different. I'll say that to you. That has been a small one.
Okay.
But the healing doesn't have the marijuana so high portion of it. So you never get high with the gummy bears.
That's what they look like?
CBC gummy bears. Yeah.
Wow.
That's it.
I think marijuana is if we look at marijuana, it's less effective on your body than Demerol or any of the other pain shots that people are taking. Going back to what Apostle Katie was saying, anything that's abused and abused is going to do your body harm. But like I was saying, I remember in the early 70s, when I was working at Press St. Luke's, they used marijuana for cancer patients way back then. It just wasn't abusive form, and you had to be able to afford it. Right now, marijuana is being used to make money here in America. Now, that's the abuse, because the government is trying to make money off of it. But actually, when you look at it, it'll be better to get it prescribed over the counter than to get it off the street, because once you mix it with rat poison and anything, freebasing it, whatever they're doing some everything with marijuana now.
Mm-hmm.
So I may be a little off basis with what are we actually talking about, the use of marijuana or the abuse of marijuana. Which one are we discussing tonight?
Well, we're talking about marijuana for medicinal purposes. And so just in dialogue with what we've had right now, I'm finding out that we really are talking about two different things, because you've got something that's been prescribed by a physician that's not actually marijuana as we know it, but they're also giving prescriptions for you to be able to go and purchase that as well. And my premise when I'm hearing that, from my standpoint, is saying abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know, it would be like alcohol is legal, but does that give me a right as a child of God to go out and get sloppy? No, it does not. You know, so to me, when you're looking at it from that premise and from that aspect, it is really imperative that we as Christians take a stance. If you say that you're believing God can heal you, then are you believing God can heal you, or are you doing this at some point? Are you waiting out and trusting God? I'm trying to get some dialogue. Where is our faith to believe that God can, you know, heal, that he is the one who can bring deliverance for pain? You know, where is our stand?
Apostle.
What are we projecting to the world when we're saying these things? So I need some more feedback and dialogue on the subject matter myself.
Apostle.
Yes.
This is Elder Deborah. Can you hear me?
Sure I can.
Yes. I think that there are, I know you said that this is, you know, one of two things, but I think there are a lot of different things that are kind of on the table. Number one, if we're just talking about the legality of it, it will soon be legal in Illinois. That is just a foregone conclusion. The governor has already said it. There are state legislators in the Senate and in the House who have already taken a stand. That's going to happen. So I think that's one piece of the puzzle when you talk about what the narrative is going to be from the kingdom, you know, from the people of God. Because when you look at something like alcohol, and you just mentioned that even though it may be lawful, does that give us the right, or does that honor God if we go out and get sloppy? That's one thing. But I think there are several people I know that I have and I will have a glass of wine. So when we start to draw a line in the sand on what we will and won't do, I think that gets to be a really slippery slope. That's just one part of the dialogue as I see it. And then what Minister Pat was sharing, the CBD, I have also taken CBD topically. There are several ways to get CBD, and CBD, the D at the end, D-I-O-L, cannabidiol, has no psychoactive components. This is not anything that gets you high. This is a natural curative agent that helps with things like cancer pain, chemotherapy side effects, fibromyalgia. There's a litany of things that this has actually shown children with seizures, all of those types of things, because we have an endocannabinoid system in us. So those receptors in that plant, and it comes from the hemp plant. And hemp is one of the widely grown and fastly growing crops. I mean, it's not like this is something new. Not only the government, but people who have gotten kind of ahead of this, because you can make clothes and bags and ropes and all kinds of things from hemp, as well as you can pull out the CBDs. So you can get it in drops that you can put under your tongue. You can get it and put it in a nebulizer and inhale it. You can eat it in edible, anything, food, anything that you can cook with, because they create it in an oil. And you can use it as a salve. It's really great if you got achy joints and things like that. Like I said, there are no psychoactive. This is over the counter. You could just go out right now and go buy this. This is not like this is any hidden thing that you have to have a prescription for the CBD. but doctors do prescribe it. I had a stem cell transplant in 2015, and it was certainly something that I used as I was recovering from, you know, from that, especially like great with rashes and eczema, all of that kind of thing. So I think that's one piece, the whole CBD piece, and I think that we have to really kind of inform ourselves so we can talk about it when people come and not kind of throw out the baby with the bathwater on things that help, because we gladly take, you know, whatever, Tylenol 3 with codeine that has all kind of side effects, you know, Norco, Demerol, you know, Tramadol, all these different types of, you know, obviously along with ibuprofens and acetaminophens, all these things. So a lot of this stuff, along with some of the curative properties that are in marijuana, you know, like I said, that's another, to me, a whole argument, because I don't know how you separate something like that from something like alcohol. It wasn't always illegal. It's only been illegal for a few decades. I mean, like in the 20s, it wasn't illegal per se, all, you know, throughout the country where the government was putting people in jail and that kind of thing. I mean, so you got a whole bunch of layers, this war on drugs, this nonviolent criminal. There's so many black men and boys and people of color in jail for nonviolent offenses. You're too poor to get bail or get out of jail, and you could have four or five times the weight of another type of drug in a different class and be in a different neighborhood, and it don't matter. So I don't know. I just think that there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle. So I'm going to shut up. But, you know, you said you wanted some dialogue, so some dialogue.
You definitely don't have to shut up. This is dialogue, and as I'm first stating is that, you know, being educated on some things, because these things I did not know, you know, that you can just go to the pharmacy and buy a derivative of, you know, marijuana at the store, you know, and so.
It is not a derivative of marijuana. It is from the hemp plant that is perfectly legal. And you don't have to go to the pharmacy. You can go to the gas station. You can go anywhere. I mean, you can buy it anywhere. You can buy it from GNC. You can buy it from, you know, shops that have other kinds of paraphernalia. It's just CBD. It's just a healing agent. So you don't have to have a prescription for that. You know, but doctors do give you a prescription for that. That's kind of the caveat. You know, they certainly will give you a prescription for it, along with giving you a prescription for medical marijuana, you know. And so people also ingest that in very different ways. It's not just the you know, the Reefer Madness movie where people are going crazy and stuff like that. The, you know, marijuana is the largest cash crop in America. I've just been doing some research, just trying to get ahead of it, because there is a lot of money available on the table as legalization comes. And so some of the legislators, not Lightford, I think her name is Kimberly Lightford, is doing town hall meetings across Chicago where they're talking about different entry levels into, they call them pick and shovels, these other ancillary businesses that will be created as a result of the legalization of marijuana. And so black folks are trying to get at the table so we can get a part, because to be able to grow or to be able to have a dispensary, because we're talking about a legal business, you know, they want $250,000 for a license, you know, so unless there is a different kind of attitude toward it, even as a business possibility, you know, kind of thing. You know, now obviously everybody has to make their own decision on what they feel that they want to do, what they would invest in, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Like I said, it's inevitable that it will be legal in this state, and it's probably legal in about 15 states already. So, but
my stance is still just because it's legal, does that mean we do it and we take part? And again, going back to the previous conversation, you guys have brought up two different things. You talked about something that's already legal that you can go and buy it like you buy fish oil off the shelf. That's one thing you talked about.
Correct.
And then we're talking about marijuana itself, the marijuana that gets people high, that gets them to a point of eating the munchies. We're talking about that marijuana as well. Is that something that they're pulling some things out for medicinal purposes? It's not the same as the thing that's on the street. That's the component of
it. Right. From the research that I have been doing on this, and I have been doing research in, you know, obviously earlier, and just found out that you guys were talking about this today, on yesterday. But there are some products that you can, in states where it is legal right now, in a medicinal as well as a recreational capacity, where when there's like a hybrid type formulation, where you can have a that whole psychoactive. But I would be cautioned to say when you do codeine, when you do Norco, when you do opioids that are legal and pharma prescribed by a physician, those same types of cognitive maybe fuzziness comes at the same time. So I'm not trying to pick an argument on that. I'm just saying that I think that in one hand we have to be even handed. And one last point, when you were talking earlier and people were talking about abusing, if you really do the research and look at it, nobody has ever OD'd off marijuana, ever. And they talk about the sheer amount of marijuana. I mean, I'm talking about just smoking marijuana. I'm not talking about eating it in a brownie or whatever, some kind of edible or oil or anything like that, but that the sheer quantity that somebody would have to smoke is almost humanly impossible. You know, I mean, they were talking like hundreds of cigarettes per minute. You know, I mean, just like a ridiculous amount that you couldn't even consume if you tried. So, I mean, I think that it is something to talk about, but I think we also have to be level-handed when we talk about what's legal and not legal. Yes, we choose to do a lot of things that don't necessarily serve our temple. So I'm certainly not just prescribing just because it's legal. Do it. I'm just saying, what do you do when somebody comes and they say, this is something I do? Do we shun them? We don't shun people who drink. We don't shun people who have other proclivities and vices in that kind of way, I don't think.
No, we don't, but we do, like you said, have to bring it from a biblical standpoint. And even going back to the to your dialogue and you saying about, you know, nobody's ever OD'd on it, that tends to lead to deeper things. That high you keep trying to get, when you can't get it from that, then you may go to something more. Now, is that everybody? No, it's not everybody. But there are those who are constantly trying to get a certain high, and it tends to lead to things that are more damaging on the body than just that. And so when we look at it from every aspect, from all of it, you know, when we talk about things that are given pharmaceutically, we're supposed to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say, is this something that I need to take? You want to look at the side effects that are going to come. I look and listen to some of these things now on the commercials, and then they'd be like, and the side effects could cause death. What? Are you telling me to take it? And so we now are in a position and a state, in my opinion, that as Christians, we have to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit as to what we're putting in our bodies, you know, from that standpoint. What is it that we should be taking? Should I be taking this just because everybody else is doing it? Is it something, Holy Spirit, that you want me to take? And I think that that's what we have to be. And then just going back to the same old privilege of fasting and praying, the Bible talks about in Isaiah 58 that your healing can come through fasting. Have we tried fasting before we reach out and start getting these other means of trying to get a quick fix for some things that might be going wrong in our bodies? And he said it'll come speedily. It'll break forth as the light when we go and we begin to fast and seek the Lord. So as opposed to us reaching out to these new things that are coming on the market, I would say let's go back to the old way of the things in Isaiah 58 and other scriptures that tell us that we can be healed through fasting and praying. And so I'm not knocking it. I'm trying to get an understanding of it, you know, and I just really want us to be mindful of the fact, you know, okay, it's going to create jobs. And, it's, you know, you were giving all of those types of statistics about, you know, what could happen just from marijuana coming on the scene. But Jesus has been on the scene for a long time, and he promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He said it is the Lord who giveth you the power to get wealth and to be successful, that he can give you something where it's not something that's on the borderline of whether or not it's right or whether or not it's wrong, you know. So I'm not trying to cast it down, but I am saying that we have to be mindful of just gravitating to things because it's the new thing on the market.
And Genesis 1:29-31 says, then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the earth, the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. Now, I know Elder Deborah will say, but it doesn't have, it's a plant derivative from the seed that God has, you know, brought. It doesn't have any marijuana. I'm not talking about CBD. But every medication, and I'm going to say even when we give it to our patients, and we say every medication has side effects, and the side effects is worse off than the medication that you take. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that the
not necessary.
That they gave to you. And for most medications, that even when you hear them advertising it on TV, the medication, like she was saying, it will cause that. It will cause you to maybe have a brain tumor. It will cause blood clot. It will cause, I mean, most medication, the side effects is worse. CBD doesn't have any of those side effects. And that's when I, before I got into it, I wanted to make sure what was it, you know, because I did want to, I had to. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know he was smoking a cigarette. I puffed one time, and I didn't like that way. And then, you know, so my thing was, okay, what is this? I want to make sure it ain't marijuana. You know, I want to make sure what cannabis and hemp mean, H-E-M-P. Mm-hmm. And so once I found out what it was, and the doctor was trying to push the marijuana first, when I found out CBD wasn't a form of marijuana, but it was something that could aid in helping with inflammation, helping for pain. But I did seek and ask God, you know, this is what I, you know, want to do. What is your will for my life? You know, I just need something to take the edge off so I can live or to help with the pain so I can move, you know. But everybody has their own opinion. But as you said, we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things. So we have to wait and seek him for what his will is. But I never wanted to go to the other portion of it, so I had to find something that helped for me.
Okay.
And
but
for me,
Elder Pat, when you think about what God said, you just read that. God also provided the world system with doctors and nurses and medication.
Yeah.
And if you go back and study, marijuana is a plant. And if you use good marijuana, it doesn't have preservatives that man has added to it. When you put a preservative to anything, it's not, it loses its potency of what it was actually made for. And if we, I mean, if people just Google it on their phone right now, they could find out what the true use of marijuana is. Now, when you think of marijuana as being a street drug, it's being free-based. So they're using anything. And even with the government, there are so many people die from freebasing with marijuana. So now, if it's becoming legal, that you're not, that is not killing our young people because they have no understanding of what they're using or what they're putting in their body. When you freebasing, I think they got different names because dope is a form of marijuana. You got mean leaf. So there's so many different names for different types of marijuana. And I think we as Christian leaders, if we really teach these principles, then no, we wouldn't be coming into our houses, and what's in our house go into the congregation or the church. But if we're not teaching it, yeah, it's coming up. But God has said so many things for the Christians to be doing. And my first thing is potato chips. So it's so many things that we overeat. We overuse that when we come to something that's good for us, then we don't have the knowledge because why? We haven't studied it.
Yes,
when you think of the plant marijuana, it's used for so many things. It's used for appetite. Some people can't eat. It's used for cancer. It's used for epilepsy. It's used for MS, you know, muscle spasm. I think about my sister. She doesn't use this, but some of the drugs that she's using is much worse than marijuana. So there are so many drugs that, marijuana is mild, and it's, as Pat was saying, If it's legalized, I'm pretty sure they're not going to have all of the added preservatives that man has placed into medication. And all medication doesn't have side effects. Most medications have side effects when it has a additive preservatives in it. But if you're using the herbs, even too many vitamins to be, you'll get a satisfied. Too much of anything is going to be no good for you. But I believe in God's word that he say he's a healer. But sometimes God want us to work with the non-believers. And medication, when I work in the hospital, I was like, Lord, you say you're a healer. Why is there a hospital? It's just for the non-believers. So when we discuss things like this, it is for unbelievers. But if you're in pain, and that pain is so severe, you don't want anything that's going to stop it.
That's good.
And I still go back to the premise of, you know, just because it's legal, you know, does that give us the right to utilize it? Does that give us the authority to reach out to it? And you said a lot, and I had a lot of comments, but I was taught when people talk and you don't speak, so I was trying to let you finish your thought and I find it's gone.
All right.
I do stand with you that we do have to talk about it, and it is definitely a fine line. You know, this is a fine line, and we were talking about two different things. We were talking about something that's coming from a plant, and then we were talking about the marijuana itself, and the marijuana itself brings about a lot of problems. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I also know that when you start smoking weed and when you start looking at it, and I'm not even just talking about the one that's laced with stuff and the one that smells like the skunk in my yard. I'm not even talking about all of those things. yeah, you're rolling up, you know, and I'm looking at people who are addicted to marijuana whose lips have started changing colors. They fingers, you know, you can't even pass the urine test. I mean, it's just a whole lot of things that go along with this, and the Bible just clearly tells us, you know, when you get to those things, that the very appearance of it, if it's not bringing glory and honor to God, you want to just abstain from that and stay back from that. So that's just my stand of where I am on the subject matter, and I hear all of the dialogue, but we are actually going to allow Apostle Shanette to come in. Any other intake, any other things? April, I thought
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I like I said in the very beginning, if we're talking about marijuana, I'm going to say that.
Yes.
I know we talk about the other
CBD
or whatever.
Right.
But I'm talking about marijuana.
Right.
I mean, that's good unless it's a light up.
Right, right, and you know the overeating and things of that nature. For me, guilty, you know, but it's something that I'm seeking the Lord about as far as my deliverance. That's not something that I'm going to continue to do, even though it's something. It's legal. I can eat up everything I want to eat up. It's legal. Bringing glory and honor to God, am I going to be able to minister to his people? Can I get down in the floor and cast out a demon if I need to? No. So that's something that I have to beseech the Lord about and get a handle on it. How am I getting a handle on it? Fasting and praying, getting my body on reset, and doing what the Lord has allowed me to. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because I just Googled it, so I really do have a real question. Is weed, for the people with the CBD and the THC, or whoever that is. No, but both of those are pulled from oil or a compound for marijuana. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct.
But it doesn't have
now, I don't care. It came from it. It came from what is illegal. I'm just asking.
No. You can. There are CBD components in marijuana, but the bulk of CBD is coming from hemp. Hemp is legal. That's where, but there are derivatives of some of those same types of agents in marijuana. So marijuana has CBDs and THC. Hemp only has CBDs. So you
okay.
can get stuff that's non-GMO, vegan, kosher, hemp oil. That is strictly
yes.
hemp, no, nothing, no marijuana. The plants are kind of like cousins, like collards and spinach and,
oh,
you know, mustard and stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? It's really that kind of, you know, those kinds of closeness and the variations of, you know, of what they're talking about as far as the, you know, the plant life. You know, I one last thing I'm going to say on this is that all of these different ways to transmit, there is already, just like you do the patch for nicotine, the patches
yeah.
are already out there on the market. So people aren't, this whole idea of you're going to smell like it, you're going to look like it, your hand, that is very, very soon to be gone. It's going to be like CDs. You know, you still got some in the house, but nobody's using them. Because
no, thank
the,
you,
these,
cause I was
these transmission
online.
Things are already out there. So, you know, I think that, you know, there's just a lot of stuff to look at. And I think we have to be sensitive to people who have medical situations that they are not vilified for taking advantage of something that is natural when we would gladly give them money to buy any pharmaceutical that their doctor says, whether it's working for them or against them. I'm done.
Thank you, Elder Deborah. I was reading online, and I didn't want to make an uneducated statement, seeing as I just took a course the last 5 minutes. We've been sitting in here. So then, oh, my God, I lost my train of thought. It was about, oh, well, sorry, I lost my train of thought. We'll find it.
We'll go pretty fast forward.
I think the underlying statement, so that we don't drift off the subject and justify the unjustifiable, is there is a difference between using weed and the other things. whether it's the CBD. Those are two different. I want us, you know, this isn't one of those conversations we're having on medication, even though we could talk about medication, because the saints are addicted to medication as well. So I definitely don't want to go there, because there is, on the other end of that, there's a solution for all of this. But for the purpose of this conversation and those individuals that want to use weed because they're familiar with it, they like the effect it has in their body, and we voted to legalize it. I'm not talking about the other derivatives of it. I'm not making reference to that. I am just talking about marijuana and your brownies and your cupcakes. And okay, or for those who want it in a blunt, or all of the ways that they that are utilizing it. And I would even venture to say, and this, I am not talking about the people that whose physical conditions or whose medical diagnosis has brought them to the place where this is their last resort. We're not going to talk about them right now. That's a different lesson. It's called a more excellent way. I am making reference to the individual, to the Christians. I'm not even talking about people in the world. I'm talking about the church. I'm just making reference to the church people that got excited because weed was legal. Now they have, they can justify doing it. That's all I'm talking about.
Apostle?
Hello,
question.
I'm not sure who. Oh, yes.
Overseer? You know
Overseer
who
it. Overseer
okay,
it.
No.
They can do it
what,
too.
That's any yeah. different from the person who drinks a glass of wine with them?
Well, I don't think
the
it
question.
Is any different.
Not the person. Not the person.
Yeah, we're only talking
the
about,
question.
I don't care about sinners
right.
today,
yes.
okay?
Right.
I'm only talking
yes.
about saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, speaking in tongues, believers. That's
yes.
it. The only ones I'm talking about. So,
yes.
is it any different from smoking a joint and having a glass of wine? No.
Well, oh, you mean spiritually?
Yeah, I mean,
it's. And so, it is not for, you don't. Drink a glass of wine.
I know
drunk.
Somebody said that if you can drink a glass of wine for medicinal purposes. It's been studies shown that
okay,
it
no,
is
I'm
a
not
common,
talking about
I'm
that.
I'm not talking about all that. No,
I'm
not
talking
either.
About that. No. I'm just talking about
I agree with you.
A person, a Christian, swine, or like just like a taser, like you like Kool-Aid, like you like Mountain Dew. I don't care what it is. And now it's
like you like
Moscato. And now I can have a glass of wine, so, or I can have a
joint,
whatever they call it now. Yeah, I wasn't sure what they call them now, but yeah.
I don't know if they still call them joints, but we could definitely
well,
be showing our age.
Yes, that's possible,
but anyway,
and I don't mind.
Is it
age.
Any different? No.
Okay.
Well, Apostle made it clear when,
yes.
she, when you said you were talking about the faith-believing Christians. See, when we didn't
yep.
surrender, we are supposed to adhere to what the Word of God say.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Word of God says, we are supposed to totally depend on Him. And I'm like, Pastor KP, if I know that I got gluttony, which is the first thing Satan came at, then I'm working on that one. Overeating. So there's so many things as we as born again Christians have to really examine ourselves. I think that's what the Sunday school lesson is about this time. But and then when we can do the right thing and people watching us, they too will be able to stand on the Word of God. So it's so many people falling away because we're not letting our light shine. And yeah, there are a lot of Christians, Apostle, that figure that they can now go back to their habit of smoking the joint or whatever they want to call it, and because it's legal.
And I'm sure, you know, we felt the same way when they legalized alcohol. You know,
yep.
That it, you know, it's like, oh, it's legal. You know, I could definitely have a glass of wine with breakfast, lunch, and dinner in between to relax. Okay. And you got to be a functional alcoholic. It replaces, you know, so somebody said, as long as you do it in moderation. Diet Mountain Dew. Okay. But I do. I think that there's some things that we have a spiritual responsibility assess. Why, and I think you said it earlier, why we're doing or why we desire to do whatever it is. Okay. And I think once we assess the spirit behind the choice, if you will, or the motive behind it, then it lets us know where we stand. And if where we're standing is scripturally and relationally being two different things, acceptable to God.
I like that Elder Deborah spoke about kind of filter with the Bowman and with all the other stuff, taking the CBD. And that was a great indication to me that, you know, and it helped me to, I mean, you know, I think
I'm working hard at the time.
It did help. I can move. I can build a little, you know, things I could never do. So
I'm not going to comment on it.
That's what I was just talking about, CBD. It's not weed. That's what I'm saying. No, we when we talked last week, we said CBD as well as right. Yeah. So, and we wanted to understand, you know, because some people were thinking that was a form of marijuana. It is a form, but right, it is cannibal, and it does have a form. It just don't have the marijuana high that comes with the marijuana.
I'm good.
It's a chemical in the marijuana.
What did you say?
I said it was a chemical in the marijuana. If marijuana have over 100 different chemicals or plants in it.
So what I'm suggesting is I don't want us to have any false sense of comfort. I don't care. I know we're, for the purpose of this conversation, we talk about marijuana, but we can pick any drug that is addictive.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
So any addictive drug, if you are prone to addiction, okay, whether it is a chemical imbalance, whether it is hereditary, but if you are prone to addiction, it's just some stuff that wisdom says I shouldn't allow to come into my space. Because I'm not being a good steward over the temple. Because I know I'm prone to addiction. I know that this is going to have an impact on me very different from it's going to have on somebody else's chemical makeup. And so I take it knowing that it is going to take me into a place or into a realm that's real comfortable, and now it's paid for by the government. All I got to do is give a copay.
And a lot of people are going to buy it from the government and they're going to start using it.
And I'm saying, and what I'm saying is that's wrong.
And that is wrong.
So if you are, if you have the propensity to become dependent on the medication, then it's a sin. Yeah, see, that was simple.
Okay, so I'm the social worker.
No problem.
Zero consumption to the phone before. For our children, your question. For our children that are born substance exposed, they're predisposed to becoming addicted.
Absolutely.
And then they're then prescribed Ritalin, Adderall, whatever, whatever, you know. How do we address that issue?
Unless we are going to put our children in the kind of environment that is infused with the presence, and unless we invest the time that we need to invest in their spiritual growth and development, then that medication is going to be a resource. There you go. That medication is going to be a resource.
Now it's a resource when you want to use it.
No, it's not a resource when I want to use it at all. I'm not saying that it is right. I am addressing the question that now it becomes a resource that needs to be monitored to make sure that that child or children do not develop a dependency on it. Given with the mindset of, what do you call it? It's the medical term for it. I can't think of what it's called, but the summation of it is the goal isn't to increase it. The goal is to wean you off, to bring your own, the chemicals in your body, to balance them off so that you no longer need this.
So then you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, is we are giving it to our children, and if we're titrating gradually, so they won't. Right.
That should be the goal. Now, is that the goal? No, that's not always the goal. Is that going to be the case?
Is that our responsibility?
It should be. It should be. You need to understand something about the chemical dependency that the little people came here with, rebuke it, and then follow a regimen to bring their system, cause their system to function without the need of it.
So, can prescribe medical marijuana once it is legal in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I am a whatever, and labor is preparing for it like that. And I chose that as my plan of holistic
management.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I mention?
That's
did you hear my whole story?
The one you just gave?
Yes.
The one you just
yes,
gave? Can you minister?
So in my role as whatever at Labor's Proprietary Word Life Center, Labor's Proprietary Ecumenical, Apostolic Ecumenical Network, at the experience, at the retreat. I mean, I don't know, you know, all those, all my functions, all anyone's functions.
No, I think that's a phenomenal question. I'm trying to use wisdom at how I answer it publicly. And how, because clearly people minister under the influence all the time.
But I mean, and those are things that when you know, you can whatever address. But is that the effort? So I clearly know I can't.
So
minister under the influence of anything illegal. There,
think
of it.
But we're not talking about
anything.
An illegal something.
No, I know. I'm
saying, so when I say people, but no, when I say people minister all the time under the influence, I don't mean illegal substances.
Drugging.
Okay, no, I don't mean illegal substances.
No, but I mean, like, you mean minister under the influence, like I'm drunk and I'm up there talking in tongues.
No, I mean, like, you could be minister under the influence of
Vicodin.
Okay. Oh, under your psychotropic medication, that Dilaudid, Vicodin. I don't care what you want to call it. Okay, so, yeah.
I just want to interrupt on that one. Flexeril, which is a muscle relaxer.
Muscle
I cannot
relaxer.
Take it. I take one and I'm out for 2 days. So I can't function. and you went back to the true Christians, we know what we can take, and we know what our bodies can, whether it's chocolate or whether it's marijuana, alcohol, we know if we use something that disagrees with our body, we shouldn't be ministering. And I don't know who asked that question, but that's something that I would ask the Lord, because the apostle doesn't see everybody and know who has taken what. But God knows what you're doing. And if you're not, if we're not serving God, then I don't know why we on the phone. So we're all supposed to be serving the Almighty God, and the Holy Spirit
that,
is leading, guiding, and directing
that, however,
us.
What I
so we know what's right
that,
and what's wrong.
Well, we should know. I don't make the assumption that we do know. I understand that we should know. However, where we're at in our maturity level varies seasonally. How's that? And so we may be in one place in our maturity level, I don't know, in our sexuality, and in a whole nother place in our maturity level in our finances, and yet a whole nother place in our maturity level in our physical or emotional well-being. So I definitely understand that after serving some time in the devil's playpen as a social worker. So I get that. However, I think it is a very valid question. I believe that it's one of those questions that demands an answer. And so my answer would be, if we are under the influence, yes, of anything that has an impact, that can have a negative impact on our spiritual ability to hear and obey, then no.
Thank you. And I thought of
the
English word that when
you're
doing
apostle. Hold on, please. Hold on. I'm not sure who's speaking, but hold on. Go on. What did you say?
I was just saying, I thought about prior to even taking communion. And that's, you know, you have to think about anything. You have all the kids going, you can sin, you can do whatever. You shouldn't do, you should partake, or you need to go and deal with that person and say, hey.
I definitely agree with that, but I think that, I just want to stay focused
okay.
on the weed
okay.
ministry.
Okay.
No, I think as it relates to that and communion, okay, as we understand what communion does and what it needs, what it does and the impact, the potential impact that it can have within our bodies, I think as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, that we will come to understand that communion becomes the show prescription or part of the spiritual prescription that the Lord will give, that he'll say, now you don't need whatever it is, okay? And there'll be times where our bodies are medicated with synthetic drugs, and he won't allow us to take communion, or he'll encourage us to take communion as a flushing agent. So I think it's one of those things that we have to be spiritually sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and not religiously obedient. Someone on the line was speaking.
It was me, KP.
Hey
Apostle. The last statement that you made about the medication, was that medication, is that inclusive of medications that's not opioids?
Can you give me an example of what you're making reference to, please, Minister?
Like gabapentin.
Gabapentin is a medication that is used for a variety of things, but one of the things that gabapentin is used for is to reduce pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has an impact
mm-hmm.
in our physical body and can become interdependent upon it as a relaxing agent. And so gabapentin is one of those medications. And again, it can be taken for so many different things. And so I am not,
right.
I'm not saying take meds, don't take meds. That is not what this conversation is about at all. But it's one of those things that for some people, Holy Spirit can be like, you need to stop taking that. Because
right.
while it is medically addressing an issue in your feet
mm-hmm.
is medically becoming a problem for your ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's one of those things that we have to practice. I want to say the presence, but, and I don't want to use this picture as a cliche, like in all thy ways acknowledge him.
Mm.
But, oh, you know what? Our body is the temple. And while we clearly messed up from Jump Street, some of the reason we need these medications is because we did not value our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so guilty. So moving forward, as we come into a greater knowledge, I think we have a responsibility to talk to the person that owns these bodies. Because I believe there's some things that we have, I know there's some things that I have done to this body under the name of medicine. That was not God. It wasn't God. And it was medically recommended, but it wasn't mm-hmm. God. And so we need to be sensitive to what the Lord would want to have happen in these bodies, that i.e. is his temple, his dwelling place. Mm-hmm. Let me touch. So the conclusion of the matter about weed, is that what the question is?
On the table.
Is that what I'm understanding? What is the conclusion of the matter for weed?
Maybe we can weed.
You are really, really taking me to a really spiritually unhealthy place because you don't want me to respond to you. No. Anybody, next person ask me, and I'll tell you. I'm going to do it on an individual basis. You need a medical detox. Anybody else want to ask me? Yes, you. Medically detox. Okay. You want a prescription, I'll give you one. Anybody else?
No, I'm pretty clear. Did we have a week talking about drinking already?
I don't know, but did we say what Overseer brought it up? You know,
a glass of wine. I need it to be chased by something.
I know. Trust me.
I just wonder, you know, that came up tonight too. So I was just thinking, you know, hey, if we talked about smoking. Next week we talk about drinking.
No.
What's regular smoking?
Well, if I can't smoke, we
are seriously, is there really seriously so somebody that thinks smoking a cigarette is okay. That's a Christian. I'm not talking about carnal Christians. I'm not talking about sinners. What Christian, what born-again believer believes that smoking a Marlboro or a cool, I don't know what they're called now. No, I didn't say do Christians smoke. Trust me, I come to church every Sunday. I smell your breath. I know you smoke. A mint don't cover it. For the record, if you drink, it comes through. What you pour into your coffee comes through. So we know. So you don't stop covering it up because it's nauseating. That's why I can't pray for you. It's nauseating. So, but you do that, but I'm very clear that you don't think it's not a sin. That's like me saying overeating is okay because I got a thyroid problem. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's the sin and you practicing it. It's like me saying I can love you, but I do not like you. I hate you. I hate your presence. Your presence means nauseated. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's impossible. It's impossible for me to love you and not like you. So that's why I'm just saying these things are oxymorons and they're lies that we have that we tell ourselves. The devil didn't even feed us that. We tell ourselves to do good and to justify. So there's no Christian born again, spirit filled, Holy Ghost fire baptized, tongue talking, okay, Christian that believes that they can light up and it is not a sin and an offense to God. Now, you that may be your signature sin. Maybe you like me. I have one sin. If I could get rid of that one sin, then I'll be perfect. And you know what? He helped me see. I could take that sin away from you. You're going to be so sad because all that is going to do is move the veil so you can see the plethora of sin that you got going and really piss you off. I don't know who said amen. I, quite frankly, don't care.
No, she means well.
No, I'm talking about all of us.
No, that's what I said. This is about me, the abundance of sins that are revealed to me every time I come to church. Good Lord, to Jesus, every time I come to church, I see another sin. It's like the Lord is laughing at me.
And you thought you over here had one.
I'm talking about me. I ain't got to throw shade on nobody else. I don't have enough. It's all on me. So, and just in case somebody didn't know, because you said somebody doesn't know, yes, smoking a cigarette is a sin. It is an offense to God, and it destroys the temple.
Amen.
An abundance of caffeine is a sin. It is an offense to caffeine. Caffeine is a very addictive agent. It is a sin, and it is an offense to God. I don't know what Red Bull is, but caffeine is a sin. An abundance of caffeine is a sin. It's a offense to God because it changes the natural condition of your body. Anything else we want to cover? Anybody on Blog Talk want to add something?
I say amen to what you just said about the church.
Anybody else?
I just want to add that an addiction is a craving or a habit. So, yeah, that caffeine, it'll get you by itself.
Absolutely. Sugar. I mean, I can give you everybody a list. Smarties isn't the issue. It is the abundance of Smarties that I use and the fact that I use them as a comforting agent so that I don't. That's what makes it a sin. So caffeine, yes. Sugar. It's the killer. Overseer?
Yes.
Have we covered everything? Have we covered it? I said drinking. You mean alcoholic It's 100%.
I know drunkenness. I don't
need anybody to know. So what are you asking? It's to have a drink, a Mai Tai. Okay, no, that's not a drink.
A shot
of vodka with two ice drinks, two ice cubes. Okay. Oh, yes. To have a drink.
Yes.
I'll give it to you very straight. Is it a sin for who?
The born again.
Okay, no. I'm just saying, the question is it a sin? So then I will say this, okay? Yes, absolutely. And then it's going to get even better. Why do you need to have that drink? Because the people getting on your nerves. So wait a minute. Let's do this. So I need to have this vodka because it tastes good with steak and lobster and some shrimp on the side with a sweet baked potato with extra butter and sugar. I am back. I'm present. I should have stayed in my office. Okay, so would it be a sin for to have that drink? So I'm going to say it depends on who it is, okay, and the purpose for which they need to have that drink.
Thank you.
Is it because they crave it? Anything you crave outside of the meat and the will of God, my meat is to do the will of God. He satisfies my longings. Anything we crave outside of him makes the thing we're craving a sin.
Jeez.
So, like, okay, it would be better for me to have a shot of vodka than it would be for me to have a really, really cold diet Mountain Dew. Because the Mountain Dew is satisfying a need or an emotion or a desire that I've not allowed God to satisfy.
Thank you.
Ask me if it's a sin for you.
No.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh.
Have a drink.
I'm sure it is. What sin is in it?
I don't know what that is, but yes. So if there, yes, for some people it's flat out a sin. It's not even a question. Because you bring some other things to the table that you can't mix that drink with. And it doesn't have to just be medically. It could be emotionally. It could be psychologically. It could be spiritually.
Thank you.
Anything else? Well, we're going to end this because all of this anxiety is really messing with my stomach and my digestive system. I'm here.
Stop laughing.
Do what?
Stop laughing.
Okay.
Pastor
Diane. I was laughing when you told Overseer to stop laughing.
I was just saying, this is seeing if you're laughing at me. Yeah, because I'm not laughing, so you ain't laughing with me.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. I heard the laughter in your voice.
Your discernment is off.
However, I just want to make, I don't know who else is on Blog Talk, Minister Pittman, Elder Deborah, if anybody else is on Blog Talk that has something they wanted to share before we sign off.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people on Blog Talk. I don't know why they don't want to say nothing.
This is Katie. I think Apostle Jeff summed it up. You know, I just basically live my life by the thought, or keep myself thinking that, is this something, and keep myself in communication with all that God is, understanding that I need to know whether or not it's his will for my life, you know, whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing, because good things can also be bad for you, you know. So it, Apostle summed it up really well. It depends on who you are. You know, there's nothing in the world wrong with wearing black shoes, but if God says don't wear black shoes, then you need to be found not wearing black shoes. It's that simple. No, don't wear nail polish, Katie. Don't wear, or Katie, wear only blue nail polish. It's that close of a relationship. It's that close of a relationship. You've got to know. You've got to come into relationship with him in a way that you can be guided. You can be guided in a way that is best for the call of God on your life. Sometimes it's not even about what we want to do in this life, but more so what he wants me to do in this life. And I found that what he wants me to do is ultimately more fulfilling than anything that I could have chosen. You know, so what he chooses for me is because it's best for me. He knows what's best for me.
Amen. That's what.
Amen.
Okay, there's more.
And I know that, you know, we have really made this specific, but I'll just broaden it for people that, you know, have these thoughts in their mind. This extends to the clothes we wear, and I'm not talking about pants. It extends to our undergarments. The kind of anybody looking at you, you go remove yourself. Go in Kingdom Church. It extends to the clothes we wear. Yes, you did. It extends to clothes. It is. It speaks to there are certain undergarments that we shouldn't wear because for you, it's a sin. Go stand next to Pastor Marlette.
Or the lack thereof.
Oh, I'm getting there. And for those that are free, for that individual, it could be a sin because it could be a spirit behind that. So, I mean, it extends, you know, whether we dye our hair because we don't want the gray to show. And the Lord keeps saying, don't dye your hair. You keep dyeing your hair. He keeps saying, don't dye your hair. You keep dyeing your hair. Right. So, I mean, it's just, I guess I'm just trying to use really weird stuff. But I want us to see that this relationship is so personal and it is so specific all at the same time that I don't want anybody finding themselves in the place I found myself for. I only got one sin. You get rid of that, we good. And he be laughing at you like, yeah, watch this. Because there's so many areas that he desires to be involved and invested in this process that we don't even think he even care about. You know, if you go buy a pair of briefs or a pair of underwear, do you think the Lord care whether you wear, I don't know, Hanes or Fruit of the Loom. I mean, we don't necessarily think about that. Or we go, oh, I want to be feminist, so I want a push-up lace bra. I'm making up something. But there are things that, depending on who you are, for you to put that on, you're putting on a spirit. And so it's not something he wants us to do. I know I'm right.
Yeah, I'm thinking something like,
I mean, it doesn't. You can wear that girdle that leaves the holes in your pores. I'm like from the 50s. I don't know what they used to call them. No, I don't mean the cute corsets. I mean, remember the old ones? They were white and they came all the way down there. And when you took them off, you had your body.
Playtex girdles.
It doesn't matter. Those play who? Playtex. She said Playtex girdle. I don't know. I'm just saying, it could be something, you know, nobody is. It could be something as simple as that he's going, you put that on for the wrong reason. It's a spirit of deceit and manipulation. So I'm just trying to use some really weird stuff. But so that.
Apostle, during the the experience in the leadership conference when we were pressing the olives. The thing that that the Lord had begun to show me before I even came there was that our relationship is so specific, and our obedience to that relationship that we've built with him is so specific because of the things that he revealed. You know, I ended up with 83 different things on that list, and I needed 83 olives to press. And it was those things on the list were not necessarily things that I saw in myself, but he showed me how they were all linked to me and where they came from, meaning a lot of it was generational. You know, so just because you're eating potato chips and you don't understand why you're eating potato chips, it's linked to something that may not even be something that happened in your generation. It may be from another generation gone by, which is why, you know, the thing that we want, you know, he may be saying that's not good for you. So, you know, put the potato chips down, you know, and we have to believe in the relationship that we've built with him and understand that he says, you know, trust me, you know, and we've got all of these trust issues from things that we've done in our own generation. But there's trust issues from things that have happened in our family. I mean, some of the things that he revealed were extremely devastating to me. And some of it had the power to send me into shutdown mode. So I really needed to understand from him, you know, why he was revealing it to me and why so much of it on one plate. You know, so I was longing for the days where he said, where okay, I only got this one thing, God. And then, like you said, when you master that one thing, then here's another one. I was longing for that time because I now had 83 different things on my plate, and I had to deal with them all. I still have to deal with them all. You know, so it's that specific where we need to be so in tune with our relationship with him and trust that he knows what's best for me. And if he says, put the potato chips down and understand that it's what's best for you. He knows what's best for you. It's working together for your good. And I'm finding that, you know, in just doing that, I find so much relief in my own body, in my mind. The pain isn't as bad, you know, all kinds of things just, you know, fall off of you, you know, when you can give it to him like that. That was a long way to a short answer, but I totally agree with what you're saying. The way you wrapped it up there is being specific. It depends on who you are and what you bring to the table.
Amen.
Apostle?
Yes.
This is Ilda. Can I ask you a question? What is your opinion on, now really take away all the other things, on medical marijuana, which is already legal in this state, but what is your stance on medical marijuana only? I'm not talking about strains out on the street and, you know, using it as a license to smoke. You know, where do you come down with that as far as the curative properties? Versus, I guess the cold question is, versus pharmaceuticals, because I'm just wondering, right, what's the stance?
What I would tell people, okay, so my, how is this, Elder Deborah, my ministerial stance, okay, overseer, stop, my ministerial stance, is that medical marijuana is not something that I would encourage people to take as a prescription. Folks talk with me often about different prescriptions that their doctors have recommended. If someone came and said one of the things their doctor recommended was medical marijuana, I would ask them to seek an alternative, to consider some other alternatives. That being said, I would feel that way about a few drugs, but that would be my ministerial stand on medical marijuana.
Even though the pharmaceuticals could probably and most likely do way more damage. I'm not even saying the medical marijuana is doing damage, because that's not what the research shows, but I'm just saying the whole idea, like the drugs you said before, the Demerol, Vicodin, Tramadol, all of the things that people take, and sometimes it's not, I mean, they're abusing, but if you got chronic pain, you got chronic pain, you know, and the fact that it's 90 days and your prescription is up, you know, if something is still really hurting for real, you know, and I know a lot of people have been in those situations, then usually there is something that is done to medicate. You know, I think that it's going to be a interesting the way this pans out, because like I said, that part is legal, because I guess maybe it's three or four things on the table, because we were really kind of stuck in this whole recreational kind of use, not really medicinal use, because the CBD is a whole different thing. That CBD just has no THC, but THC, marijuana has both CBD components, HC.
And I get that as my ministerial stand would be, if an individual that I know today, came to my office and said, this is what was recommended, my response to them would be, have we considered some other alternatives? There possibly be an exception to that. I can't answer that right now. But my ministerial stance, or apostolically, I would say, seek another way.
Thanks.
No problem, Elder Deborah.
I love
All
you.
Right, whatever. I am so sure it's 8:30, and this has been phenomenal exchange. I definitely have grown, had the opportunity to grow. I pray that I grew, but I definitely had the opportunity to. So if there be nothing else, say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, somebody said enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
And I'm calling for the elders so they can lay hands on me and I'll be healed.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm being challenged in my walk today. So maybe we should talk about, do we really want to be healed? Because I think part of this is, do we really want to be healed, or do we want to continue to wear our sickness as a badge, as a reason, as an excuse not to be and do what God wants, so that we can enjoy?
Absolutely.
Not what do they call it?
When you don't have to work.
Okay, all of the above. Whatever, everybody came up with something different. Because I am of the mindset that most Christians, do I need to qualify what a Christian is? Don't want to be healed. I just said I'm of the mindset that most Christians don't want to be healed, because if we really wanted to be healed, Apostle Dr. Shanette Albania Houghton included, if we obey God, we would be healed, and then we wouldn't have this conversation about no drug, because we wouldn't need it.
Right.
I'm of the mindset that most of us really don't want to be healed. We want to have something that we can keep as an excuse up before a holy God to do all that, but you didn't do this, so therefore I need that. And by the way, thank you, because now it gives me an excuse not to, or to. But that's just I'm just saying. Because we really don't want to be here. We like living beneath our privilege. We like living in disobedience. And we like having all of these issues because it keeps us in the special victims unit and of the church, and it gives us something to say, God, see, I found fault in you because this is something you didn't do. You did it for Susan, you did it for Kevin, but you didn't do it for me. So I'm going to go. I'm going to nurse my wounds and pout. Okay, or collect your Social Security, whatever. We really don't want to be. I won't say we don't want to be here because that could be offensive to somebody. I don't. I didn't say everybody didn't want to be healed. I said most. How about this? I could speak in the house. Well, maybe, most people in Lakewood Society Work Life Center does not want to be healed.
Some people. Say most people. Some people.
Okay. Overseer would like me to say some people. I will say this. People don't want to be healed. And because if we did, we would be. Okay? So, we like the state. We don't like it. We become accustomed to the state that we're in. And so, we're in it. Okay, next. Quoted in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin, but it don't change the manifestation of it in our life. So, you want to be healed? Obey God. That's all I'm going to say. Right? You want to be healed? Obey God. So how many of us say we want to be healed, but we haven't done everything God has told us to do? And it's easier to take a medication than it is to do what God said. I'm just saying. I love you all. Good night.
Amen.
I can't handle
this.
Why don't we stop
it? Well, Blog Talk. We will see you next week. See you Sunday.
Hey.
And good night. Be blessed.